This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello listeners, Tim Sylvie here and welcome to a brand new season of the Motormouth podcast. We've got another exciting bunch of shows ahead, including today's guest who I'll come on to in just a moment. We've also got the likes of racing brothers Pietro and Enzo Fittipaldi coming on and former F1 driver who's currently smashing it stateside in IndyCar, the Phoenix himself, Romain Grosjean, coming on the show soon, and many, many more. Before all of that, though, I have to head across the airwaves to introduce today's co-host. Now, if you're a fan of the high-speed world of F1, then you're already familiar with his news, opinions, and analysis and entertainment from the racetrack straight to your screens through his booming YouTube channel. He's fast, he's funny, he's a force in the content creator scene. Ladies and gents, it's the one and only Tomo F1. How are you, my friends?
Oh, Tim, shut up, mate. That's too much, right? Entertainment. That's certainly objective, you know. I mean, look, the good thing with YouTube, there is something for everyone. So I'm able to thrive with my unique, somewhat informed perspective on the sport. And also, well, to be fair, Tim, no, I really appreciate it. And I love you just as much. And you definitely get me in on that Grosjean interview, right? Yeah, cool. Yeah, we'll do that one.
Who have I hate to say it.
Nah, Harry, don't worry about Harry. He can deal with it.
I think Harry's doing
We chatted before and he was like, no, Tomo, you can have that one.
You can fight that one out amongst yourselves. Yeah, I'm not going to get involved.
Harry would have, his range would mess me up, to be honest. Okay, go on, Harry. Yeah,
that's going to be a good one.
As long as we don't have to fight for it, then.
No physical fisticuffs. Verbal abuse is fine. Are you ready for my next over-exuberant introduction?
I'm looking forward to this, Tim. I'm looking forward to this. I've been working on it.
Here it comes. This took some time. So buckle up, rev heads. Our guest today is a rising powerhouse in the world of motorsport and automotive broadcasting and content creation. She's got a need for speed and a love for all things on four wheels, from rallying to road trips. She's got the inside scoop on what's hot in the automotive scene. She's sharp, she's savvy, and she knows how to handle those hairpin turns. So grab a cold one and tune in as we chat about her career, news, thoughts, life and opinions. It's the one and only Nicola Hume. Nicholam, welcome to the Motormouth podcast. I have to confess.
Go on.
Right. No, but I have to confess because I was trying my best to hold it together through that introduction because I got ChatGPT introduction.
I knew it. As soon as you started, I was like, this is AI.
It was a bit too good, wasn't it? That was a bit too good for that to be human written. That was brilliant.
Honestly, I couldn't hold it together. I was tripping over my words because I was on the verge of laughing the entire time. But yeah, I thought last night, because I've been fascinated by this whole AI thing lately. I was like, do you know what? I'm just going to ask ChatGPT to write my intro.
Do you know what? It's okay to just own up to being lazy. That's totally fine.
That's pretty much what it was. It was pretty late. I'd had a long day and I needed to do it. But I typed in, I was like, can you just write me a fun and witty intro for Nicola Hume and Tomo F1 co-hosting podcast, blah, blah, blah. And that's what it wrote. So I've not edited that at all. It's exactly what came out. So, Yeah. Good times.
I do fear for the future of copywriters in this way, because to be fair, it's getting surprisingly good. But Nicola, anyway, enough of AI. Where are you joining us from today? And you're very, like, you've got, for anyone seeing the video, if you're going to make a clip of this, Tim, you've got a very nice microphone.
Thank you. It's a Rode NT1A, don't you know? I'm coming to you live from my wardrobe in West Sussex. That's where I'm coming to. So it's like I call it my voice booth, but because it is technically a voice booth, but normally I have to have the door shut for it to sound really nice. But because it's video, I've had to kind of move everything to the side and open it up a little bit. But there we go. It's my wardrobe.
Whereabouts in West Sussex?
So Horsham, which isn't not far from Gatwick, if that helps. About 20 minutes from Gatwick.
I know it well.
Same.
I know it well. It's the end of my train line is Horsham. And my dad used to have an office there in a little square next to a pub called The Bear. It's Southern something trains, yeah. I'm not sure if it's...
Or Thames Link.
Yeah, probably. It's the Thames Link, I think. It's the Peterborough line.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
It's a really riveting
chat.
Very geocentric as well.
Now... You were at Goodwood, weren't you? The members meeting recently.
I was there on Sunday.
That must have been fun. How was it?
It was a little bit amazing. Mostly because humble brag, I was invited by Bentley. I know. It was just one of those. Do you want to just come for a jolly? I went abso-blooming-lutely. So we got to drive some like old heritage Bentley cars. Like I drove a 1963 S3 Bentley, which was amazing. And it was quite funny because we all got stuck in traffic on the way into Goodwood. And I was like, well, I've sat in worse cars to be stuck in traffic in. So there's no complaints there. And then the journey back, I got to be a passenger in the 1929 Bentley blower, which was just mind-blowing.
Have you been Goodwood before? Was that your first time, or have you had many Goodwood experiences in the past?
I've only been there when there hasn't been an event, so it's my first time going to an event, and it was amazing. Like I've always wanted to go to like Revival, or I've wanted to go to the Festival of Speed, but the thing is people always tell me that it's really busy, and I'm not a fan of extremely busy places. But the members meeting was just like a nice kind of happy medium, and a few people had told me that, so I was like, right, well, this is probably a nice warm-up for me to kind of deal with being surrounded by lots of people and lots of noise and all that kind of thing. Because it's always a noisy day anyway by the track. And being then surrounded by people, I just find the whole thing quite overwhelming. So it was quite a nice way to ease myself into it, if you will.
Yeah, the Festival of Speed, I've been a few times. It is a busy event, but it is spectacularly good. Like it's probably the best car event I've ever been to. I've never been to the Revival, but the Festival of Speed is just incredible. If you're lucky enough to go, it's an extraordinary event. And watching some of those cars that don't belong on a hill climb go up that hill is just ridiculous. You know, there was that McMurtry thing, which I missed last time, which Max Chilton drove up the hill, which is... I've never seen anything like that. It's just a ridiculous machine. But let's take it back, Nicola. We like to rewind and go back to the beginning. You grew up in West Sussex. What was life like for a young Nicola growing up in the lovely West Sussex countryside?
I didn't grow up in West Sussex. Oh, I grew up...
Where
no.
did you grow up?
I've only been in West Sussex for about 8 years. I grew up in North London. I grew up in Edmonton, North London, down the road from Tottenham, if that helps. But I'm not a Tottenham fan. No, I'm an Arsenal fan. I grew up in North London. My parents are still there. So I grew up in, at the time, very proud to say, it was the murder capital of London. It's a really lovely area where I grew up. But it's, I'd like to say it's getting better. It's not. I go back and see my parents. You can still, it's not the nicest place in the world, but that's where I grew up. Yeah. And then moved to West Sussex. Which is much nicer.
Yeah, I lived in Walthamstow.
Oh, down the road.
I lived in Walthamstow last year, so not too far. Yeah, just down the road, and it's still very. That's the thing with inner London. You get kind of gentrified areas that prop up, but then obviously that displaces so many people as well. So it's I mean, Horsham's lovely. I've been there.
Horsham's really lovely.
Very, very nice place. So you've
Edmonton is not quite on the way. Hackney's on the way up. Like Brixton's on the way up, whereas Edmonton's kind of been left behind. It's not quite on the... Give it a few years. Hopefully it might be back on the way up.
Do you think a young Nicola from Edmonton could have ever foreseen the career that you have today? Was this always kind of part of the plan, or have you just kind of, you know, fallen into this as you've gone through the years?
No, this wasn't the plan. This was never the plan. The plan was originally to be an actress. Of course it was. So I went to drama school when I was 18. And I trained to be an actress, and then it turned out that I was really bad at it, so I didn't get any parts. I'd go to all these auditions, I'd be like, oh, maybe I'm just a little bit crap at this. Okay, fine. And then I got a job. Well, that's where I met my husband, and he was from Epsom, so I ended up moving down to like Surrey way to go and live with him. And I was like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. So I got a job at Chessington World of Adventures. And nice. I was doing the entertainments there, and I just really enjoyed it. And then I started like presenting their shows, and people were telling me I was good at presenting the shows. I was like, well, maybe I could do a bit of that rather than acting, because clearly acting's not the way for me to go. Maybe I could do a bit of presenting, and I just don't have to. I can just be me. It's a bit easier, isn't it?
Because surely those acting skills must have helped, right? Must have contributed to your presenting skills, I feel like.
I don't think so.
I reckon so. So articulating yourself
completely
in front
different
of the
things.
Yeah,
no,
there's some overlap, surely.
It's definitely helped with a couple of pantos I've done over the years.
Oh no, it didn't.
Hey.
Oh yes, it did.
So Nicola, what came first then? Was it when you decided that you did want to be in front of camera, but not necessarily in an acting capacity? When did Cars come on the radar? And was it Cars before motorsport? Did they come at the same time or vice versa?
It was Cars first. So I sort of started presenting, and I was kind of running a radio career alongside trying to be on camera and do bits and bobs. And I landed a job with O2, working on their YouTube channel, talking about tech. I'm not going to lie, I don't really know much about tech, but I just kind of went with the flow and I was like, yeah, I could do that. Yeah, fine. And at the time, I was then kind of poached by Stuff magazine, which was like quite a big tech magazine run by Haymarket Media. And I was doing like some bits and bobs with it, just like some commercial stuff for them. And they went, oh, by the way, we also run What Car, an auto car. Do you have an interest in cars? And I went, I do have an interest in cars. I've always been interested in cars, always. And I've always loved cars. Like my dad still has his old Triumph Spitfire. He's had it for years. The thing, like it can hardly run. I mean, you put your foot on the brakes, it just won't stop at all. It's terrible. But I've always had an interest in cars. And I was like, yes, I would much prefer doing that than tech. So yeah, let's do it. So then I started doing little bits with them. And then from there, it just kind of all built up. And then I moved from there to, I did some stuff with Autocar, and then went from there to Car Buyer, and there to Auto Express. And everything's all just kind of erupted from there. And I've kind of landed on my feet with that one, really. That was really handy.
So when you think back to when you were younger, what kind of cars were your? Because I was the same. I got into cars before I got into motorsport. But even before I got into F1, I was into touring cars, and because that was more of the extension over. Like, what generation or what types, what manufacturers, what models stick in your mind as being the earliest cars that you kind of fell in love with?
So I was the first one out of my friends to start driving. Like, as soon as I turned 17, straight out there, passed my test pretty quickly. My first car was a Fiat Punto. It was a terrible car, but I loved it. My dream car at that time was when they first launched the new revamped Mini Cooper, when they launched like the brand new Mini Coopers that were slightly bigger than the original Minis. And I was like, oh, I really want one of them. And I wanted it in bright yellow. And I still haven't had one in bright yellow. I did have a Mini eventually, and I had it in sort of like a pearly white. It was very nice, and I was so happy. The moment I got that car, I was over the moon, because all I wanted was a Mini, because they're just little stupid little go-karts, and I'm obsessed with Minis so much. I think they're fantastic cars. But it was, yeah, those were the ones that always caught my eye as a kid, even as the Diddy Minis, even down to the one that Mr. Bean drove. Loved it.
Yeah, no, that, I'm a big fan of Minis. It's an experience, always an experience driving a Mini, almost no matter which one you drive, modern or old. Now, I did see a clip of you in a Suzuki Jimny the other day, which made me chuckle. You were going in a straight line, basically turning the wheel, and nothing was happening. What is up with that vague steering? But and that aside, did you like that car?
I love that car. I love that car so much. It's an off-roader. It's designed to be an off-road vehicle. I mean, I know they've made it into a commercial car now. They don't sell it as like a passenger car anymore. They sell it as a commercial car. It's all to do with like efficiency and all this thing. But we took it off-road and it's designed to go off-road. So that's why the steering is a little bit vague, because it kind of deals with the off-roading a little bit better. But then the moment you go on the road, it's awful. It is just, you don't buy a Jimny to drive on the road or on the motorways. If you want a Jimny, you're doing it to take it off road. That's it. But if I could ever have one, I would absolutely have one, because they're so basic. Brilliant. They're brilliant.
Yeah,
cars.
Like the Jimny, it's such a aesthetically. I think Suzuki have got quite a unique, that's not the only car that like has this real kind of character to it. And you get some of these, like, it almost feels like a Japanese kind of K car style. I know it's not a K car, but it has that same kind of aesthetic, which I love.
That's the same with like the Ignis or the Vitara. They have this kind of retro look about them. I mean, I was driving a 2021 car, but it had a CD player. I was like, what is happening? It's amazing.
I've got a CD player in my van, and it still had the CD in it. Who was it? It was the Cranberries or something someone left me with when I, because I bought a van because we do various bits and pieces in events, and I can throw everything in it, and it came with a CD player preloaded with the Cranberries. Lucky me. Now, can you tell us, go on, Tomo.
I was going to say, I read an article a couple of weeks ago. I think now vinyl outsells CD. I think it's gone back the other way. Which is pretty
what
mad.
Shame.
So we're getting vinyl players CDs. In cars now.
Vinyl players in cars go fully retro.
You can go mixing while you're driving.
We don't condone that, children. What's the best and the worst car that you've reviewed?
Oh God. That's a tough question, because I've driven some brilliant cars. I've driven some amazing cars. And they're all different. It's a bit like if you were to ask me, what's my favourite music? I don't really have a favourite music, but I kind of like particular songs from particular genres. So like electric cars, the Kia EV6 GT is insane. Insane. They're claiming that it does 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. I can guarantee you it's quicker than that. They didn't officially, when we had it, they hadn't officially properly timed it. And we think it was less than 3. It was fast. Yeah. It was fast.
So my father-in-law has just bought the Kia EV6 GT, and he's slightly disappointed with it. He likes it, but he had a Tesla before that, which he had things done to, which was incredibly quick. And he thinks the Tesla was quicker than the Kia.
Probably had a played one.
Bloody Teslas.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to try not to say nothing bad about Teslas, but they're just everywhere, and the build quality isn't that great. And I find like the interior, like the seats, the material just all feel a bit cheap. There's always panel gaps and stuff like that. And I'm a bit like, they're everywhere and they're so basic. Please just do something different. That's all.
Can you cast judgment over my car choice, which is electric, and it's an Audi e-tron?
Oh, that's fabulous. That's a really good choice.
Thank you.
Really good choice. Yeah.
Thank you.
Really lovely drive, nice and quiet, nice and comfortable, and surprisingly soft over like the lumps and bumps I found the e-tron. Very nice.
Glides.
Tell you what, Nicola. Okay. What about perfect today in 2023, your perfect three-car garage that fulfills all your needs, good variety, what are you putting in it?
Okay. Okay. So I would have a Kia EV6 GT. I would use that as my daily. And because it's perfect, I've got two dogs, good to chuck a couple of dogs in the back, lovely, works true. Perfect, looks nice, I could put my foot down if I want to. I would also, now, because I'm a bit tempted with a Caterham.
Oh,
nice.
Would I get a Caterham? Because, so I had one just before Christmas. We actually went Christmas tree shopping in a Caterham. It was amazing. We managed it. We did it. It was really good. It was a challenge, but we managed it. It was a good little video. But then I've kind of always wanted a Mazda MX-5 as well. But I'd go for like maybe sort of 2015 Mazda MX-5 soft top. That's probably what I'd have. And then, so that's two, because I'd rather have the MX-5 than the Caterham if I'm going to have something with a roof off and a bit of fun. Mm. So then I've got the Kia, and then I've got a Mazda. And then what can I have as my third thing? Something big and
obnoxious.
Stupid. Yeah. Like a massive, like 110 Defender or something like that. Just so I can take over the road and own everything. Yeah. There we go.
That's a good garage.
There's my three.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. That's pretty good. Go on then, Tom. What would you have? What would be your three-car garage?
Oh, that's tough. Okay, so I would probably have maybe Lexus LFA.
Oh, very good. Ooh. Very good.
Is the obnoxious tourer. I would definitely have something. Oh, I'd want like a drift car, like a old Lexus IS200 with big wheels and big like Formula Drift style with a big rear wing, like 800 brake horsepower, but one of them.
Pops and bangs.
Definitely. And, what would be my... You know what? I've got to be honest. I really do like the Tesla Model Y. So...
No, you don't want the Y. You don't want the Y. Listen to me.
Come on, sell me, Nicola. Sell me something else then.
Listen to me. You don't want the Y. If you want to have a Tesla, then you go for the X or the 3 or the S. You don't want the Y. The Y is it's so bumpy. Honestly, the suspension on that thing is just, you can do so much better than the Y.
You can do so much better than this. You can be better.
What about like, okay.
Why do you want a Y anyway? Why? Why?
Why? Why? Well, exactly. It's in the name. I don't know. Because I just like it. You know what? I do like the big Audis, like the S, is it SQ8 or SQ5?
Sure, you'd want an RSQ8. That's what you'd want.
RS, sorry. RS.
Yeah, the RSQ8. Yeah, that's an absolute beast. Yeah.
I saw one of them a mate of mine in LA had one, and I was like, oh my God, I'm so jealous as he drove off in it. It looks so good.
Yeah.
That's like
car.
Yeah, they're lovely.
What about you, Tim? Go on.
I'd be nostalgic about it because I used to have a Clio 172 Sport, which I loved, but I've always wanted a Peugeot 205 GTI because I just think they look really cool. There's one in my village I've never driven one, and I would like something like that. I've always said I want a Porsche 918 Spyder just to show off. And then I'd go one big car like an RS Q8 or something along those lines, or maybe a really obnoxious G-Wagon with blacked out windows like some sort of drug dealer. So something along those lines.
It's always the drug dealers.
But I do like the Defender. I love the new Defender. I think it looks so cool. And it would look good parked at the school gates. So I'd go somewhere along those lines. Yeah. It's a good conversation, actually. You could talk about this for a while. There's a lot of cars I would like.
Easy.
I just don't have any money. So that's a fundamental issue.
Yeah.
But that's
the issue. So with my job, I get given a different car, like whenever we're filming one. But the annoying thing is that you always have to give them back. So if you do fall in love with one, like I had the BMW M4 and it was a convertible and it was so beautiful and I got a speeding ticket with it, but it was so worth it. And then I had to hand it back and I was really upset about it.
Yeah, they're cracking cars. Yeah.
Actually, Nicola, on that note, one other question I've got is what's been the most pleasant surprise? It's like a car you've received you weren't expecting much, but actually it's kind of blown your mind.
Oh, blimey.
Or just expectations versus reality, the biggest delta.
Again, I'm gonna have to lean towards a Suzuki here. Really randomly, I'm gonna have to vote for a Suzuki Ignis. Oh. Which when you see one you go, oh, that's gross. You go, that doesn't look very nice. Because as soon as we booked it, I was like, oh, great, really going to look forward to this. And I had it. And from the first drive, I completely fell in love with it. I was like, this is a cracking little machine. I loved it. Google Suzuki.
Yeah, that one.
You'll go, that looks a bit pants. But actually, it's not.
Yeah. No, okay. I get it.
It's unique.
Yeah.
I appreciate its uniqueness, but... Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
It's a bit. It's a bit pensioner looking.
Yeah.
But it's.
I could see my mum in that.
It's Diddy, and you can.
I had a.
You can squeeze it in little tight spots.
I had a Suzuki Vivio.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Which no one's heard of. It was 5-speed with a button on the gear lever to put it into 4-wheel drive, and it was 700cc. Beast. It's amazing.
Oh, I mean, I bet it sounded terrible.
It sounded like a hair. It really was hairdryer material, that. But memories. And a Citroen AX, one of those 4-speed box. Brilliant. Anyway, we could go on for hours. Let's turn our attention.
I love the Citroen AX with the little choke. Cracking car. I love the Citroen AX.
Yeah, oh, they'll put out the choke. Yeah. Now, presumably, you're an F1 fan. What do you make of the current Formula One under the ownership of Liberty? Are you into it? Do you like it?
I'm enjoying it. I think, especially with all the regulation changes and everything that's been going on, I'm enjoying this season so far. I know it's been like Max dominated, but it's really nice to see how close the teams are getting now. No one was expecting that from Aston Martin. No one was expecting that. All of a sudden, they've just shot straight up to the top of the grid. And I think it's going to be a really exciting season. I think the season will be won by Max. And I think probably a really close second with Checo. But I think the rest of the grid being so, so tight, I think has made it a lot more exciting to watch.
Who do you think's our best hope of challenging Red Bull? So you've got Aston, you've got Ferrari, Mercedes that are the closest. Alpine are talking about a 6-10th game going into Baku. So like even not this year, but maybe next year, which team, if you had to bank on it, do you think is going to be able to catch up to Red Bull first?
If you were to ask me this at the start of the season, I probably would have said Ferrari, but I don't think it's going to be Ferrari. I think it might end up being Mercedes still. Because I think as much as Aston Martin are up there and, you know, Fernando's doing great, I think Mercedes are just like, they do a lot of moaning. They're doing a lot of moaning of, oh, we can't keep up. Well, it's not fair. We're not kind of good enough. And this isn't right. And this
a lot of apologising to the
fans.
Yeah,
but then all of a sudden you're like, oh, but you're still driving pretty blooming well. So I think give it a few more races. I think Mercedes will be back up there.
And do you have a favourite driver? And if you do, why are they your favourite?
I do have a favourite driver. I didn't used to have one. I'll tell you what happened. I used to be one of those, I just enjoyed the race and I would just be someone who just sits back and enjoys watching the cars go fast. And then Daniel Ricciardo was a guest on Top Gear and he did the star in a reasonably priced car. And I think he won, this was probably about 7 years ago or something like that. And he won, like he beat Lewis Hamilton. And I just fell in love with him. And then I found myself, every time watching a Grand Prix, I'd found myself watching him and getting more excited about him. And then his overtakes over the years have just been phenomenal. And then Drive to Survive, he's just completely shone above everyone because he's got the best personality on the grid. And I think he's had a really tough time with McLaren. And I do think his move to Red Bull is going to be is really good for him, for his mojo, if you will. I think there's been like quotes from Christian Horner of him saying, you know, Daniel came to us and he lost a bit of weight and he was driving differently and all this sort of stuff. So I think even just being reserve driver for Red Bull this year, I think will be really, really good for him. So I'm hopeful for him and I love him.
If he gets back into an F1 seat, how do you see that actually happening? Like, what opportunity do you think presents itself that he takes? Because he's talked about, you know, he doesn't want to come back in just to be, you know, fodder towards the back of the field in a lower midfield team. Like, he wants to be competitive. And fair enough, you look at how well, even in 2020 in that Renault, he was unreal. Won a race in 2021, you know, still had his days at McLaren. So where does that opportunity present itself?
He had his one day at McLaren in Monaco.
He had a few that season, to be fair, but just not anywhere near enough, unfortunately.
Where he is with Red Bull at the moment, I would love for him to drive for Red Bull, but I don't see that happening. Yeah, I mean, I don't know because the grid is so all over the place. You don't know who is the next best thing. Who is the next best thing? Where is the next best place for him to go? You would kind of go, well, then maybe it'll be cool for him to move to Aston Martin and actually sign up and be part of the team. But that's probably not going to happen because Fernando's going to be there. Then obviously Lance is probably still going to be there. So then he wouldn't have a seat there. So I don't know is my answer.
No one does. It's difficult, isn't it? Because you know, like, if you can guarantee, if you're a team principal, you can guarantee getting a prime Ricciardo. I think most teams would be silly to not take him on. But I guess that's the problem. Because it went wrong at McLaren, there's always going to be that niggling doubt. Unless you can guarantee, you're getting 2020 pre-version of me, not what happened at McLaren. Hopefully that doesn't come to define his career ultimately.
Yeah.
But he's a gamble now, though, isn't he? I mean, would you want him? I mean, if you were a team boss of a top five team, do you really want to take a chance on someone who really hasn't done an awful lot for quite a while now?
This is where I think being at Red Bull is going to work in his favour, because I think he's going to start driving better. I think he'll get his confidence back. And I think you'll end up seeing the Daniel that was there before he went to McLaren. Yeah, I think you're right, Tomo. I think he'll be the old Daniel.
I still think because Red Bull know how to get the best out of him. They know how he drives, and they know, you know, he was toe to toe with Max when they were teammates. And Renault, I was surprised. I know it would have taken a lot for them to kind of swallow their pride almost with it, but I think Alpine would have made a lot of sense because they got the best out of Daniel. And if I was in charge, I would have gone for Daniel over Pierre personally, because I think you were getting a more known entity in Daniel. Not that Pierre isn't doing well now, but I just think that, again, they knew how to set up a car to get the best out of Daniel Ricciardo because he was driving that car on rails in 2020. But we'll see. Time will tell.
Yeah, no, indeed. Now, Nicola, if you were an F1 team boss, what sort of boss would you be? Would you be a Günther Steiner?
I'd be a shit one.
There you go. Answers that question. I'd just be a shit one. I mean, you're not filling me with confidence there. If I'm driving for Nicola Hume F1, I'm feeling pretty low.
So, I know what I'm doing, everyone. Yeah. Just do what you
swear?
Want.
Are we allowed to?
Well, you've done it.
Are we allowed to swear on this podcast?
You just did. And I'm not going to edit it out. I'm going to make a stand.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. You can say what you fucking want. It's fine.
I'd be a terrible team boss. I'm terrible. I'm awful at making decisions. I'd be awful at choosing the right drivers. I wouldn't really know what I'm the right thing to look for. I'd be terrible with money because I'm terrible with money. And I just
cost
feel like
cap.
I would achieve
the cost
nothing.
Cap would be shot. You'd be up in the tribunal.
I'd be useless.
Yeah.
I'd be useless. Yeah. Bad idea.
The company cars would be great though.
Oh yeah. Yeah. But you'd only get them for a week. Then you've got to give them back.
Oh dear. Yeah. Oh, well, I'm not coming to work for your F1 team, but you have had a successful career in other parts of the automotive world. But would you have done anything differently if you could go back, talk to your 16 or 18 year old self as you're working your way through the world? Would you have done anything differently? What would you say to yourself back then?
Do you know what? I wouldn't. I don't think I would do anything differently because everything's kind of led me to be at this point. And, you know, we all make mistakes and that over the years, don't we? And I think it kind of defines who you are as a person. If I did anything differently, I don't think would I end up being the same person sat here right now? I don't know. So I don't think I would change anything. And I think maybe if I went back and spoke to my 16, 18 year old self, I would just tell myself to quit smoking back then, a bit earlier.
Yeah.
That's probably what I would do.
Likewise.
Rather than quitting in my mid-20s.
How have you seen the industry change since you started working in it, Nicola? How's it kind of differed between then and now?
Social media is king now. When I first started, it was very much YouTube. But now social media is absolutely the king. Sometimes you might get videos that just completely bomb on YouTube, but then all of a sudden they fly on TikTok. I put up a video, right, on TikTok of a car door opening on a Skoda, right? It was literally just opening the door, closing the door. It got 1.2 million views. I was like, what on earth is this about?
That is quality
insane.
Content, that is.
Yeah, you are welcome. Yeah, but it's like that's it's been a complete changeover content-wise and how people view content. It's a really interesting turn of events, I think. It does make it a bit more exciting, but sometimes you're a bit like, YouTube can be a bit hit and miss. Sometimes, so can social media. Yeah. Though, to be fair,
I mean it's an interesting world, and Tom and I have talked about this before with guests around social media. But it's come to a head lately with the likes of Jake and Fab from Pit Stop podcast, and the issues they've run into through some ill-advised comments that they made in front of some people who they probably shouldn't have, and it's really ramped up. Are you conscious of that when you're speaking around social media? Do you think about the consequences of what you say and worry about that cancel culture?
See, I saw that clip and I watched it and my brain went, what the hell were you thinking? What the hell were you thinking? What a stupid thing to say. I don't think I would ever say anything as stupid as that, because I don't think anything as stupid as that. I think you do have to be wary of what you're saying. But I think if you are just genuinely a nice person and you're genuinely in the right business of something that you are genuinely interested in, then you're not going to say anything wrong. I mean, clearly they've gone into the motorsport world for the wrong reasons, I guess. They've gone in it to go viral, not because they're interested in the actual racing side of things. So that's just kind of where it's completely backfired. That was going to backfire one day, wasn't it? I think you just don't be an idiot. What a stupid thing to say. I mean, come on.
And so much of it is like, it's not just what you say, it's how you say it as well, right? And it's you know... Many a time you will be trying to make a certain point, and then the way it's, because it's almost like, and it, like we've got this podcast here, right? There's the three of us, but there's a fourth person, and that fourth person is the viewers listening, and that type of person could be anyone from any kind of background, any age, any demographic. And a lot of the times I think when you're articulating yourself, you know, you might think you're, you know, conveying what you're trying to convey and being clear in what you're saying. And you might think, especially when you're in a room with other people, that everyone kind of understands the tone and understands what you're trying to communicate. But then that other person who's as much part of that conversation, who's listening in, they, you know, so I think that's where it's difficult, because, you know, anyone can be watching and anyone can, I've had it my fair share of times where I've kind of, you know, particularly on Twitter, like I'll put an opinion out and then I'll be like, no, that's not what I meant. But like, then people will and it's that's where it becomes such a minefield, because you've just, you know, you're putting your thoughts and feelings out to the world, and it's kind of, it's hard to really wrap your head around it until you get, you know, criticism of people being like, well, that what you said came across like that to me, not like how you necessarily meant it. So it's just it's a minefield that, you know, people get tripped up all the time. And it does, since like starting in the industry, I've certainly become more like, what's the word? More kind of conscious and more
considered.
Yeah. But also a bit more like empathetic to like everyone who's putting themselves out there, whether it's me, whether it's any of the three of us, whether it's whoever's doing stuff, because it can be quite easy to, you know, not even out of intent, just say something and not necessarily add. You can't, you know, especially 140 characters on Twitter, you can't put all context into what you're saying. And again, when you're having a conversation, it can be difficult sometimes. It's not an easy, it's a great industry to work in, but it can be tough sometimes as well.
It is a bit of a weird world, because it is a bit like, so seeing those guys say, oh, no one's really watching you for the racing, and you think, well, you're kind of doing a racing podcast, surely that's just a no-brainer not to say that. But then you do get the select few, like on Twitter, if I was to tweet I like bacon, someone will go, oh, what does that mean, you don't like beef? How dare you say that you don't like beef? And you go, well hang on a minute, I didn't actually say that. So many things can easily get taken out of context. But I think if you are just a genuinely nice person and you are, yeah, passionate about what you're talking about and you know what you're talking about, then you should be okay. but it's sometimes it can be a really toxic place. It's quite scary, actually.
Yeah, and I think Twitter in particular is it's so easy to jump on a bandwagon and really lay into people for seemingly, you know, not big things. I mean, I have a certain degree of sympathy for those guys because, yes, they got it they got it wrong. They got it completely wrong, and their apology didn't really hit the mark either. With they released, I think yesterday or the day before, actually a couple of days ago now, when this is released. But on the other side of the coin, can we forgive them? You know, for you know some of their content's probably fantastic, and they've been so vilified by Twitter or the you know the keyboard warriors on Twitter. I've got a certain amount of sympathy for them. Do you know what I mean? It's
oh, absolutely,
yeah.
Cancel culture is the pylon. Worst.
Yeah.
The pylon is certainly disproportionate, like in my opinion. And again, that's the thing. When you're putting yourself out to the world, you've got an infinite number of people who can potentially see it and comment and have a and again, like you know, criticism is all fair, of course, but. Yeah, it's not nice to look again. Like I've met Jake and Fab, you know, a couple of times. They seem like nice, like genuine blokes, and they've got their audience. They do their thing, where they don't claim to have loads of knowledge of the sport. I think it was a, you know, for me, it was like a perfect storm of events. You know, they'd had a bit to drink. They'd One Man, One Career on, and obviously there's a lot more context when you've got him on a podcast as well. So yeah, it's one of them things that. Again, we all make mistakes in life. It's just when you're making that mistake on a podcast that's being broadcast to thousands potentially of people, then, you know, then all of a sudden that stays up forever. You know, that will never go.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the issue was that it wasn't just a sentence. It was a little back and forth talking about that thing. Hmm. So I think it wasn't just like a quick slip up, which you could easily apologize for. But a little slip up of kind of going, oh yeah, sorry about that. I didn't mean to say that. You can kind of move on from that. But I hope they do manage to move on from it.
I just think their degree of naivety for sure.
Naivety is a good word for it.
Yeah, I quite liked JM's response on Twitter. He just put, perhaps I should start my own podcast. I was like, touche, my friend, touche. Now let's move it along to our final three, which we ask all of our guests this week. It's brought to us by our partners at WTF1talent.com. Head to WTF1talent.com if you're a budding F1 content creator and interested to hear how you can supercharge your career. So I'll kick off this week. Tomo, Nicola, what's got you excited at this very moment?
Well, I'm an Arsenal fan, so I'm excited about the fact that they're having a bit of a cracking season, but also at the same time, I'm extremely nervous they're just going to cock the whole thing up. Oh my goodness! Yeah, yeah. I don't really know the answer to that. I find every day is an exciting day because every day it works out different, so you don't know what's going to come. That's probably my answer, I guess.
We'll take it and run with it. Okay, Nicola, how much of your success, hard work versus luck? What's the age-old question?
Now, it's hard. I would vote for hard work here. It takes a lot of hard work for someone to become a, quote, overnight success. It's one of those I've found for me the last year or so. My career's kind of gone up a level, and now more people are speaking to me, more people are asking me to work with them and all that sort of thing. So now things are getting really quite exciting. But then what's happening is it makes it look like, and it makes it feel like, am I going to end up being this overnight success? All of a sudden there's this girl. Where the hell does she come from? And you think, well, actually, no, because the last few years I've been working so hard to build up my career to get to this point. So I'm going to go for hard work. Hard work is the key to success. Luck is really, really rare. It does exist, but it's really rare.
And final one for you. What are you scared of?
Frogs.
Frogs?
Don't do frogs.
Frogs?
I hate frogs. I don't do frogs. They're unpredictable. What?
Yes, they are. Yeah. They could jump at you at any moment.
They can. I mean, I don't know if you were after a more detailed answer than that, but you asked me what I'm afraid of, and I'm afraid of frogs. That's it. I see a frog and I'm gone.
And they can go underwater, they can come out of the water. Yeah.
They can jump at my face.
They've got they can jump right at your face,
yeah, they can, yeah,
and put their little froggy hands on your face.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not.
Oh, God.
Stop explaining it to
me. They're horrible little things. It's like, all it takes is for someone to put up a picture of a frog. I'm like, oh, skip it. Don't like it. Don't like frogs. Yeah. Don't do frogs. There we go. Apart from that, I'm pretty good with everything. Oh, I don't really like spiders. But I'm not really afraid of much else, really. Frogs are definitely up there for me. Well, did you want something motorsport related?
Tim, what are you scared of?
What am I scared of? No, I'm scared of, it's called, I should have told you this before, hadn't I? It's a name for it. It's like trichophobia or something like that.
Holes.
Which is a fear of these holes.
Yeah. Like crumpets.
Holes.
Crumpets. Yeah. Weirdly, I'm all right with crumpets and sponges. It's more like there's a plant that has these big seeds, and when it's dried out, it's these holes.
I know exactly the one. And also, if you're a car person, most modern BMWs, the system that they have on top of the dash is like a sort of diamond shape area where there's a lot of holes. And I even said that in a review. I was like, my brain can't handle this. Doesn't like this at all.
Yeah. It's a weird
makes
thing.
Feel icky.
It does. It's very common as well. A lot of people have it.
Nicola, I want to ask, you mentioned BMW. I've got another question. Automotive journalist that you are, what do you make of their new front teeth, the big front teeth on the new BMWs? Have you warmed to them yet, or are you still...
Right. I like them on a 4 Series. Stay with me. I like them on a 4 Series or like on like the i4 or basically on the saloons. I think they look very nice because the number plate on British cars will sit in the middle. So I think they look really nice and very stylish. However, on an SUV, I think they're really ugly. I don't like them at all. It's just full beaver, isn't it? Oh, you know what I mean? As in teeth, not as... Yeah.
God. yeah, good. Teeth, beaver.
This was a casual chat, right?
Very. I mean, I knew it was going to go off in certain directions, but we've just hit a new low, listeners.
Someone had to lower the tone. Yeah. It had to be me.
Well, on the subject of beavers, let's... end on that high note, and Nicola, it has been a absolute joy and a pleasure to have you on the show, and we're going to get you back on at some point in the not too distant future, because I know that you've got a very, very exciting announcement which will probably come out soon that we're not allowed to talk about yet, which is really frustrating, but we will have you back on and we'll talk about that when the opportunity allows. So very exciting stuff, but all the best for the future. A great career so far. It's only on the up, and I'm sure we'll see you in a paddock soon, but for now, thank you so much for joining us on the Motormouth podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's been great fun.
Thank you so much for listening to the Motormouth podcast. Do make sure you give us a follow on our socials, Twitter @Motormouth_, Instagram @Motormouth_official, and Facebook, just search Motormouth. You can also download the Motormouth app, where you can get exclusive video content from MMTV, create your own social profile to interact with other fans, and check up on all the latest happenings with whatever motorsport takes your fancy. We're also proud to be supporting the Brain Tumor Charity too, so make sure you check the links in the podcast description to find out how you can help cure brain tumors quicker. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and review. And until next time, you've been listening to the Motormouth podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.